This is Program 23 on Hear It Now, a full-hour review of the week's news told in the actual recorded voices of the men and women who make the news. Once again, here is the editor of Hear It Now, Edward R. Murrow.
90 years ago, an event vital to the future of the great state of Pennsylvania took place. This week, a United States senator and a congressman paid tribute to that event, which happened at Lititz 90 years ago.
Mr. Speaker, today we celebrate the creation of what has virtually become a national institution. The American pretzel is 90 years old this month. Never sneer at the pretzel. Never discount its impact on the economy of the nation.
That was Congressman Paul B. Daigle. In the U.S. Senate, Senator James Duff of Pennsylvania handed them to his colleagues at lunch.
Whenever you have good pretzels, you can bet this. They're either Pennsylvania pretzels or they copy Pennsylvania pretzels.
In the town of Lititz, where it all began, there was an entire day set aside for rededication.
I am honored indeed and pleased as a representative of the government of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to come with you today and dedicate this plaque that marks the place where the first commercial pretzel was baked in America. The pretzel is as typically Pennsylvania Dutch as the people who make it. It is not only nourishing, but it gives a salty tang to our diet that lifts it out of the ordinary routine of things. I would like to say to everybody, particularly the children, that if you line up here in an orderly fashion, you'll all receive some pretzels. Now, no crowding. No crowding.
In the state of Florida, still trying to make the findings of the Kefauver Committee pay off, there was confusion and bewilderment of another sort. If your husband lost some money to a bookie on a bet, you could collect from the bookie. According to a new law now officially in the Constitution of the state of Florida, Representative John Bollinger, who wrote the law, explains it.
This new law in Florida provides that any person who loses money or property in an illegal gambling transaction may sue the winner within 90 days and recover his losses. It also provides that the state of Florida will receive an equal amount of money or an equal amount of the value of the property lost. In effect, this means when the loser sues, that the gamblers will have to pay back the amount they win, plus an equal amount which will go to the state of Florida. The law further provides that if the loser or his legal guardian does not sue within 90 days, then the wife or husband or any relative of the loser or relative of the loser's wife or husband may bring the suit. Under this law, if a husband or wife spends the grocery money for gambling and the children are without proper food and clothing as a result of gambling activities on the part of the husband or the wife, the other party to the marriage can sue the winner and recover the losses, with the state of Florida receiving an equal amount.
New York enforcement officers, bookmakers, and a few courageous housewives would watch the experiment in Florida. Some years ago, Fiorello LaGuardia discovered that there was a similar law in the books of the state of New York. The little flower had little luck in trying to enforce it. In New York City, one of the 9 Supreme Court justices made a speech.
People in Asia are dying of hunger, and the best-selling books in America are How to Get Thin.
That was the voice of Mr. Justice William Douglas, who, like many another American, is worried that the horseman, starvation, now riding the fields of India, may be communism's best recruiting officer for 1951.
In India last year, I saw thousands upon thousands dying. In a few places, the dead were so thick along the roads that the vultures could not eat them.
Last January on this program, we spent considerable time on the problem of wheat for India. Last week in Delhi, they cheered the communists when a member of parliament announced that Russia had several boatloads of wheat on the way. Still, no word from Washington. Justice Douglas is concerned that we are losing a battle almost as vital as Korea.
The tides are running fast against America in Asia. We are becoming in the hinterland of the world symbols of that which we despise at home. We are identified in Asia with practices and policies that are opposed to what we espouse at home. Only those who have traveled the villages of Asia can know the alarming trends that are underway there. I hesitate to say this, but it is clear to me that if in the years ahead we play in Asia the role we have played in the last 5 years, Asia will become united in one great crusade, a crusade against America. That would be a needless thing, a senseless one, and deeply tragic.
On Sunday, July 2nd, 1950, the Tigers and Cardinals were in first place. The price of food had reached a two-year high. Everyone was humming the Third Man theme, and Betty Davis got her divorce in Mexico. On this same Sunday, the North Koreans were still pouring across the Han River, and a young captain named Frank Stylo, along with many more, was being flown into combat from Japan. After 10 months in the line with the 24th Infantry Division, Captain Stylo has come home. 11,000 others who wanted to come home, too, won't make it. They're dead. Tomorrow, on Armed Forces Day, the speakers will tell us about duty and sacrifice, courage and suffering. Tonight, on the eve of Armed Forces Day, we choose to honor the men and women in service not by any speech of our own, for no words of ours could tell the story you're about to hear. When we heard that Captain Stylo was coming home to Metuchen, New Jersey, with the first of the rotation combat personnel, we asked the captain and his wife for permission to stay in their shadow with our recorders. We promised to use the smallest, most inconspicuous equipment we could get. They were reluctant, but understanding. So in these closing minutes, this is what our recorders picked up. The homecoming of Frank Stylo, radio officer, 24th Infantry Division, serial number 0429738. Last place of residence, Korea. The boat trip home was a little better than the trip over. The ship swung lazily into Seattle's port of embarkation. Stateside boats gave their salute. There was the inevitable parade. The usual formalities.
I welcome you to Fort Lawton, as well as back to the United States. It is our purpose to get you on your way home.
The usual red tape.
Just 20 copies of your order, sir. You don't know it, Cass, but this green card is the end of the line for you, sir.
A little progress.
Captain Stylo, you are leaving Seattle on Northwest Airlines Stratocruiser flight number 10 at 10:15.
Much more progress.
This evening, Captain.
And the end, almost, of the line.
Your attention, please. Northwest Airlines announces the arrival of flight number 10, Stratocruiser service from Seattle, Tacoma.
Frank had called his wife from Seattle. He hurried to a phone at Idlewild Airport to check in.
Hello?
Hello, dear.
Oh, hello, darling. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Did you get in?
Yes, I'm at Idlewild.
Oh, that's wonderful. Gee, that was a good call last night. I blew the sound
for it. Uh-huh. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Good. How's the baby?
Oh, he's fine.
Good. Well, I'll be home shortly.
It's been the longest day.
I know it has.
Well, okay, Melissa, dear. When you approach the baby, approach
him
very slowly, will you please?
Okay, dear.
Okay, darling.
Bye, dear.
Soon, huh?
Yes, I will. Bye.
It seemed that Frank's motorcade of a single car would never get to Metuchen. But at last, it swung up the red clay road, stopped in front of a modest green shingled ranch-type house, and the returning hero was greeted by a dog he hadn't seen since he was a pup, a wife he hadn't seen since she left Japan 6 months ago, and a baby he had never seen.
Hi, Annie. I'm home. Oh, I'm so glad to see you.
How are you, baby?
Oh, this is so wonderful.
Oh, well, you're looking great.
Oh, I've waited so long for this.
How's the baby?
Oh, he's fine.
Let's go in and see him.
Marie is a pleasant, attractive, dark-haired girl, born and raised in the South. She pushes the white front door open, her hand locked in Frank's.
Now approach him very slowly, mm-hmm. Because he's, it'll frighten him.
Oh, it won't frighten
him. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, boy.
Aren't you going to say something
say
to Daddy?
Something. Mm-hmm. Hello, boy.
Come on, boy. Come on.
That's the big boy. Isn't he cute? Look at him. Now, where's all your hair? Where's all your hair?
You've got plenty of hair.
Aren't you going to talk to Daddy?
Glenn sits excited in an overstuffed tapestry chair, listens while Frank calls his mother in New York.
Hello. Hello, Mother.
Who's calling?
This is Frank.
Frank?
Yes.
Oh, gee, when did you get home?
I just arrived.
I can't believe it. Are you really home?
Yes, I am.
I'm so excited. I don't know what to say. I can't believe it.
Well, look,
are you all right?
I'm fine. Are you going to come out tonight?
I'm just catching the first train they get there. I don't know how I have to hitchhike.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, give me a call when you arrive at the station. I'll pick you up.
I certainly will. Oh, I can't believe it. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. Okay, Mother.
Okay, bye. Lots of luck.
Bye. It's almost dinner time, but Joe Costa, mayor of Metuchen, New Jersey, population 10,000, has just heard that Frank is home.
Boy, it sure must be a wonderful feeling to be back home again.
Oh, yes, it certainly is.
Must have been quite a thrill for you, boy, to have seen that youngster for the first time.
Yes, it was, Joe. I really got the greatest thrill of my life when I saw the boy. He's quite a boy.
I know what you mean, because way back there, when I got out of the Army back in 45, I saw my little boy for the first time. And when I saw that little guy, I got quite a thrill. You expect him to see a square head and all out of shape, but boy, when you see him, he's the most beautiful thing you think there is in this world. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I can vouch for that, Joe.
Well, Frank, I know that your doorstep's been worn out today, so that I think I better take leave now and give you a little time to spend some happy moments with your family. Good night, Frank.
Oh, good night, Joe. Glad to see you and hope you come around again.
Thanks, Frank. Bye.
By 8 o'clock, the family starts filling the living room. One guess what they're talking about.
I think he's remarkable the way he starts to goo-goo and gaga all over his
dad. Yeah, and all of a sudden, that's the first time he ever said dada. All these months I've been drilling. Oh, there's a car coming in the drive now, Frank. Maybe that's Mother now.
Yes, I think you ought to go out and see.
It is her.
A mother and her son together again.
That's really you? Oh, Jude, you're looking grand. Oh, my sweet. Oh, my sweetheart. I just love to look. Liz, I can't believe it's you, sweetheart.
Hello, Mom. How are you?
Oh, gee, it's really you, sweetheart. That's the way I feel. I can't even say anything. Oh, my sweet.
It's good to see you again.
After so many years, I think it is. I can't believe you're here, sweet.
Next morning, the Stylos have breakfast. Frank, Marie, and, of course, the general of the household, in his privileged sanctuary. Little brown-eyed Glenn in his high chair.
Come on, baby. Come on, boy. Eat your breakfast.
He's watching you put every mouthful in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel to have breakfast in your own home again?
Oh, it feels fine. Only it's the same old cooking.
Same old cooking? What do you mean by that statement? This is fresh orange juice. I know you like it, so I've fixed it. I had good intentions of making waffles this morning, but since we were up so late last night, I didn't get around to mixing them.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't he something the way he sits up?
Come on, say something, boy.
Glenn.
Say something, boy.
You're gonna have
you can't have the spoon.
Daddy,
You can't have the spoon.
Give him a spoon of plow. As long as he doesn't poke it down his mouth. You're done.
That a boy. Sure is a nice day today, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. We have any plans?
Well, I imagine people will be dropping in all day.
That's what I mean. We can get away from here.
we'll cut off all the lights and lock the door and just
no.
Home.
Wouldn't you like to go someplace special?
Well, what I really had in mind, since we're so close to New York, I'd like to sort of relive our honeymoon.
How about the baby, though?
Oh, now that's the problem. I don't like to leave him with a babysitter. In fact, I never have. Mrs. Willoughby next door, she's a registered nurse. You haven't met her yet. Maybe I'll call her and see if she's busy.
Okay, well, why don't you do that? And we'll get everything settled and we'll take off and...
I haven't been any place to shop because I didn't have anyone to leave the baby with.
Uh-oh, there goes the spoon.
It's 10 o'clock, a beautiful day. Frank and Marie roll out their black Studebaker and drive around town.
This car is sure built up. There used to be an old house. Oh, there's the old house behind the store.
Yeah.
They built all these stores around it.
This was just about finished when I arrived here.
Uh-huh. They have a pastry shop and radio shop, television shop. I see the old American Legion Hall hasn't changed any.
No, it's the same old place. That'll never change.
Frank gets ready for a big evening. Gets his hair cut at D'Amato's Barbershop on Main Street.
So what's new around town?
Nothing much, same old story.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that the town has expanded quite a bit. They have new buildings and...
Well, they moved the other end of town now. They're starting to
Got that big national store up there on the other end. Mm-hmm. 4 or 5 more new stores.